Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here for his award-winning podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here, and the star of the show is Mr. Bill Curry Ford. He's the king of Newport Richie. He's Uncle Ira. He's the custodian of Canton. He is the water damage whisperer. Did I miss one? I don't know. Uncle Ira.
And he's out here in 58-degree temperatures doing this podcast.
And he knew the weather forecast, and he didn't bring a coat. God, unbelievable, Ira.
Unbelievable.
No wonder your mom.
I was going to wear shorts.
No wonder your mother used to put your socks on, Ira. It's a true story.
The heat's on in Tampa, but I'm freezing.
The heat is on. We've got a lot to talk about with the Bucs, but not a lot to talk about at the same time, which is just so freaking sad. But the exciting thing is that we do have some nuggets. You guys were at $1. Today, I was at a Mike Evans event. Today, I was at in the locker room in Miami. And we got plenty to share, plenty to get into. And there are plenty of incredible year-end offers at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, that's the family name, Curry. Unreal, 0% financing offers. Your trade is never worth more than it is today. They have got 0% financing for 60 months, zero money down, zero interest for 90 days. These incredible promotions, some of them are from Ford, they're going to expire. So you have to hustle up. These are year-end savings. And, of course, incredible offers on used vehicles, service at your home. Mobile service is still available. Get something done that you've been putting off. But most important, reach out to Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He's the big boss, and he holds the Ira Kaufman discount in his pocket. It applies to everything. Sean wants to help you, whatever it is. He will help you personally. It's invaluable. You can't get this anywhere else in the Bay Area where you can just message or walk in and talk to the GM of a dealership, and he's going to treat you like family. Sean loves the Bucks. Anybody who listens to the Best in Class podcast knows what a tough time this has been for Sean. He's our draft guru. He's a super Bucks fan. And I'm wondering right now, I don't know, maybe he's hoping the Bucks end up with the 10th pick in the draft, which is still on the table for this sorry-ass team. Bill Curry Ford. com. We'll talk later about Florida's Elite Restoration, but in the meantime, get to their website, floridaseliterestoration.com. Ira, it is just a sad, sad, sad time to be a Bucks fan. Fans have experienced a meltdown that many of them haven't seen before, because maybe they're newer fans, maybe they're not used to such high expectations and low production. But Ira, I gotta say, just for me, before we get your Sage of the Union address, watching the Falcons take it to the Rams last night to move to a tie with the Bucks, and know that they've got injuries, a questionable head coach, and a backup broken-down old quarterback playing, and they've got, again, major injuries, and the Saints are on a four-game winning streak, playing hard for their new head coach at 6-10, and the Panthers are leading the division. These are all teams with worse quarterbacks.
Worse rosters.
And they are outperforming the Bucks, and it's disgusting.
Steve, you used the right word. And let's see if Lee agrees with me. Lee, everybody's talking about execution, and we're tired of hearing about it. But there's another word that starts with E that I think really tells the story, Lee. And it's not about talent at this point to me. Energy. And I don't see it, Lee. I don't see it. Now, Steve was at the Miami game. Maybe he can weigh in on this more than I can. But, Lee, you watched it like I did. The Dolphins looked like the team that was fighting for a playoff spot. And the Bucs looked like a team that was playing out the string. I don't get it, Lee. I don't get it. And I haven't seen this kind of passion or energy basically since the bye week. I don't know what the hell happened that week. But whatever it was, the Bucs ought to make an investigation and make sure it never happens again. Because this team was rolling, 5-1, 6-2, bye week comes, you get healthier, you're refreshed, and the exact opposite came. This lack of passion and energy, Lee, it's really an incredible turnoff to Buck Nation, and I think that's a big reason that when we ran the poll last week, it's the most shocking poll Joe Bucks fan has ever run. I'm not talking about the Bulls poll. I'm talking about the poll that Steve put up. Do you want the Bucks to win this game? And a majority said no. That tells you something right there. And I'm not sure there's another time in history that would have been the case maybe at the end of 2014. They're vying for the number one pick. Don't win the game. Don't win the game. Lee, this ain't 2014.
Yeah.
This is a team that's still in the hunt, supposedly, and the people that responded to the poll don't want the Bucks to win. That's got to get the attention of the guys that write the checks.
No, that's great. The last thing you said is a great point that I never thought of. They read and they see a poll on one of the most well-read sites about the Bucks there is, actually the most. Only one close is Buccaneers.com. And a majority of the people wanted the Bucks to lose, that it might spur change, that it might spur a roster reset. That's jarring.
That's right. Lee, it wasn't lose because we're worried about draft position. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. Like you said, it's like lose so we can have regime change. That's a big, big difference.
Or even roster reset. I was at the New Orleans game. I think that was the last game before the bye, was it?
Yes.
They sure had energy then. At least the defense did.
They sure did.
And that, you're talking about energy? That's the last game where Antoine Winfield made a difference. And I still think that him getting robbed of two touchdowns, that might have taken away a Pro Bowl, or it's not a Pro Bowl, an All-Pro honor, which means money. I still think that something happened with him that he's like, that's it. I mean, I bust my ass.
Well, a week from now, I'm turning in my All-Pro ballot, and there ain't going to be a buck on it.
If Lee's right, then they need to trade Winfield in a hurry. It means he's weak, he's soft, and he's a loser. If that's really the case, that's what he is. No player before a bye week, halfway through the season, has a meltdown that affects the rest of the year if he's a decent character, focused guy. So I hope Lee's wrong.
Why is there a total lack of passion and energy, Steve?
It's disgusting.
And physicality.
It's disgusting. First of all, the team has taken on Todd Bowles' persona completely. Now, I'm not saying Bowles isn't a caring coach who has a plan and is focused and has proven that he can do some good things, but they're just convinced, well, if we just stick to the plan, we'll be good. No, they're not adjusting. They're not adding any energy. There's no players-only meetings going on that have been happening, which you hear about when teams go into, you know, free falls like this. I asked about it in the locker room. Chris Godwin even said to me, I don't think doing anything different would help us at this point. Okay, Chris, got it. Glad everything's so good, which is Todd Bowles. We don't have some big problems or motivational issues. We're good. We just need to stop making mistakes. It's a bunch of bull, Ira. This is a no energy, disgusting team right now that doesn't care about the fans. You know, you guys were in the locker room today. You basically said there were no starters in the locker room. Is this correct?
Yaya showed up. Jamel Dean showed up. And I think that,
as well, he always does.
Yeah, and Tyke Smith was there. But those were the only three starters I could think of that I saw. But at first, just to give people an idea of the atmosphere, after a season, the day after, they have locker clean-out day. And it's pretty much a morgue in there. A player or two will come in and out, but it's pretty much barren of any players. We stick around for an hour, hour and a half. A couple guys come and go, but for the most part, nobody's in there. Well, today was the first day the TVs were shut off. No TVs, no starters. I mean, again, Jamel Dean came later. Yaya Diaby came later.
Just to clarify for people, it's a designated time where players know media will be in the locker room. So they know that's what's on their schedule. Media will be there, and they're supposed to show up.
It's supposed to be an obligation.
It's supposed to be an obligation.
Per the league.
So they've decided we're hiding. We don't want to talk. We don't care. We don't want to talk to the fans through the media. We're just ghosting it.
At one point, I saw JPP open a door, stuck his head in, looked around, saw nothing but media and Buck staffers. Out he goes.
But it speaks to the energy and the fact that the team isn't trying to do anything different.
And you contrast that with the Falcons, Steve, and you're right. You're right. The Falcons on Monday night, flying around.
What do the Glazers think when they see that, Ira? When they see that, well, we went winless in December against crap teams, and the Saints are undefeated in December, and the Falcons, they've got juice. And
saving a coach's job.
And the Panthers, the Panthers are only where they are because they beat the Rams and the Packers and teams later in the year that we probably couldn't. What do they think?
It's a million-dollar question, Steve. They've done nothing. They've done nothing since the bye week. And I'm not counting the win over to Arizona.
Arizona
doesn't know how to win.
Yeah.
It's a sorry Cardinals.
A field goal.
You know, why do you get beat by the Dolphins? The Dolphins had lost two in a row. They had nothing to play for. You know, they had played well before, but then they lost two in a row. They got hammered, right, by who? The Bengals? The week before?
Yeah.
Hammered. You know, Quinn Ewers. You know, Lee, I want to make this point. I've made it before, but I got to make it again. Most of Ewers' completions were uncontested.
Correct.
They're uncontested. Yeah. They're wide open. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not going crazy over Ewers. Oh, he's going to be, you know, the next Dan Marino. No. Yet, most of Mayfield's 44 pass attempts were highly contested. There weren't a lot of Bucks wide open.
Nope.
I'm more concerned about the former, which is the Buck defense allowing receivers to run free. Lee, I just don't see these passes defended, tipped. Balls,
no.
A guy right on another guy. It was a beautiful throw. That's the only reason they completed. No, it's not like that. It's like there's no Buck around them within 6 yards. Take the first touchdown. It's a breakdown. Apparently, it's Tyke Smith's fault. Dean let the guy go past him. He expected safety help. I believe it was Smith who basically got benched later in the game.
Basically, yeah.
I thought in the first half of the year, he might have been the best Buccaneer, Tyke Smith. I don't know what's going on with him. So, Lee, there's nothing to hang your hat on. Mayfield's not playing well. He's not playing well.
No, he's not.
That first pass, now you say what you want about the throw to Mike Evans the week before, the miscommunication. Say what you want about the safety making a great play on the second interception against Miami. But, Lee, the first ball, the guy's open, and Mayfield threw a bad ball. It hung up like a lead balloon. He threw it late, and he didn't put it, as he said, not enough mustard. So, Lee, is Mayfield playing hurt or is Mayfield playing bad?
I caught a lot of flack on Sunday when I put on Twitter after his second interception of the game, the fourth quarter interception. I said, that's exactly why I'm not paying this guy yet. Man, did I catch hell. I love his intangibles. I don't know if he's injured or not. If he is injured, why the hell is he in the game if he can't make throws? Your quarterback can't make throws. You might as well just run a wishbone. So why the hell is he in the game? Or if he's healthy, why is he sucking? It's one or the other. It's not both. So either way, if I'm the Glazers, I'm not cutting him a check yet. Yet. Keyword, yet. I want to see if he can get himself out of his rut. If he's healthy, then there's something really wrong. If he's unhealthy, if I'm the Glazers, I got to ask, why is Teddy Bridgewater not in the game? Why do you have a crippled quarterback in the game?
Sage, now we've had this argument before on previous podcasts. The different angle I will take on it is, I don't like Baker Mayfield's intangibles anymore. Where's the evidence? He's allowed his team to fall into the tank. He's become a low-energy guy himself. He's fit right into the mold. Where's the leadership? Where's all this stuff? Now, I'm not knocking him. The guy gives it his all on the field.
That's what I mean.
Plays hurt.
He'll play hard. He's running. He's trying. But these intangibles, which is, I think, in the NFL is pretty much making players around you better, where has it gone? Yeah. He's presided over this absolute mess.
He's part of a low-energy group.
Yeah, he's part of it.
He's part of a low-energy group right now.
Well, he also was one of the guys that chewed out his teammates for not having a killer instinct. So I don't know if I can go there or not. Bowles sure loves him. I've never heard any player remotely say, you know, we don't want that. I mean, Lavonte David even says he gets the defense fired up. I can't go there
yet.
Does he? Yeah, he told me that.
No. Where's the evidence? I think it's just...
Well, it was a couple years ago, but still.
Yeah. I think the intangibles have faded a lot this year.
Well, actually, it's earlier this year when he's running around on the field. I see what Steve's saying. I can't go there yet. Not yet.
All right, Steve. Now, here's another one. I'm looking at the monitors where we're...
You can see Hooters.
They're showing the replay of the Falcons game. And I'm watching their number 7, who's a fantastic player. He's a fantastic player. Running back.
Oh,
and now I'm looking at the Bucks number 7, and I'm not trying to say that the bar is to be as good as Bijan Robinson. I'm not saying that. But the Bucks have a number 7, and Steve, right now, he's a problem. He's a problem.
Well, the problem in the sense he's not producing.
What's going on, Steve? What's going on with Irving? Is he still having some mental health issues? What's going on?
I'm going to say this. I don't like it. I've enjoyed what Bucky delivered last year. Was fun as hell. I would get rid of him in the offseason. I would. I don't have a problem saying it. He has fallen off. Running backs often fall off second year after a good rookie year. He's had off-field issues, whatever they are. I'm not knocking him for it, but issues are issues. And Doug Martin, we watched, have a great rookie year, get hurt, fall off, have mental issues off the field.
He bounced back with a second.
He did, absolutely. But
won his contract year.
That was multiple years later. And I don't like the gamble on Bucky Irving right now. I
can't believe we're saying this because
I'm not sure.
I loved the guy last year. Last year.
I'm not sure Bucky Irving could handle competing for a job or being the number two running back. And he needs to compete for a job next year. And I don't know if that's a win-win situation for the Bucks.
And how does this affect whether you let the Rashad White go to free agency if you're not sure about Irving?
That will be the next coach's decision if we get there. And I think we will, but we don't know. For sure. Here's a couple things I'll say about Bucky Irving. First, Bowles said, without mentioning Bucky Irving's name, he was talking about, distributing the ball to the various running backs. When he was asked, hey, White's making production. Sean Tucker's getting production. Why are these guys not getting the ball? I mean, it's clear Bucky is not. And Bowles said something along the effects. I'm not quoting him. I'm paraphrasing. Well, you get people's feelings hurt. Well, good. Grow up. It's the NFL. It ain't college anymore.
He said it's hard distributing the ball with when you got three good running backs.
Well, you don't have three good
running
backs.
A lot of teams would like that problem.
Exactly. I'm like, you're the head coach. You're going to let Bucky Irving take this team down when you were on the cusp of the playoffs 2 months ago? Really? Come on now. That's number one.
And Lee, besides his attitude issues, if he has them, and I think he does, he's not being productive. He's not particularly
productive. He's not being productive. That's just it. And here's my second issue about Bucky. Not issue, but I'm going to say this. Like, dude, if you want to try to tangle with a teammate, I suggest you back off from Tristan Wirfs. Don't tangle with Tristan Wirfs. He's the ultimate teammate. He's the last guy on this team you got to worry about, and he would break you in half if he wanted to. I guess you saw the video, didn't you, Steve?
Yeah, I thought it was a big nothing. He wasn't trying to be physical or anything like
I
that.
I thought it was a big nothing.
It wasn't Keyshawn and Groot. It was.
I thought it was a big nothing. You could tell clearly, for those who didn't see the video, Tristan Wirfs is basically, chill out, relax. We'll take care of things. Calm down. It was very clear. That's what he was trying to say. You notice the players on the bench, only Otten stood there ready to pounce if something happened. Everybody else was sitting on the bench. Well, Klein was in the background behind Wirfs thinking, hey, I might get a chance to break a sweat today. I might break up a fight. But other than that, the rest of the guys were sitting on the bench. It's like, no big deal to them. But I'm just saying, him going at it with Wirfs, of all the people to go at it with, that guy? Come on now.
You know who's playing hard? McMillan and Godwin.
I think
McMillan and Godwin are playing hard. They're trying.
Evans as well. And
Evans had a quiet game. I'm not worried about Evans.
I don't have a problem with Irving getting mad, whatever it is. We don't know what it
Buka
even was.
Has disappeared, Steve. He's been disappeared.
Vanished.
He has. But now, some of that's Grizzard, and some of that, there's a lot of problems on the team.
Grizzard, you said this a little bit earlier, Ira. You didn't flush it out. I will. You said you were watching Miami receivers. They were getting open. They were not contested. The Bucs weren't. Bucs had maybe the best wide receiver group in the league. Why were they not getting open? Are we to believe that Evans, Godwin, Ibuka, and McMillan all threw in the towel? No, I'm not.
Could be a schematic problem.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Ira, it's just very frustrating to see. You started the podcast off talking about energy.
Yes.
And I think a lot of fans would be like, well, who cares? It was in the locker room. Who cares what Todd Bowles?
I didn't talk about energy in the locker room. I'm talking about on the field.
I know you're talking about the field, but we were talking about some other things.
Oh, yeah.
But it all goes together. We've seen enough teams
professionalism
to know that it all ties together.
Yeah, professionalism.
To come out in Miami like that, and I asked Todd Bowles immediately following the game, was he good with the energy level and the effort coming out? And he was like, yeah, sure. I had to call Lee, literally had to call Lee at halftime to ask him if it looked as bad on television as what I'm seeing. Now, I have the YouTube TV feed, but obviously I'm watching the game and looking at that for replays, but they're just lifeless. They were lifeless before the game in warmups. They were lifeless on the sidelines.
I think if a coach talks about effort and a lack thereof, that he knows that's a reflection on the coach. He knows that.
That could be.
Yeah.
Bill Cowher was laughing on CBS the other day. I was laughing. And I'll tell you why. But first, Florida's Elite Restoration, nothing to laugh at. They are the best in the business. If you have wind damage, fire damage, flood damage, water damage.
Mold.
That's who you call first. You're going to get immediate service, an immediate free inspection if that's what you want. They will have someone talk to you. And they'll come out with all the best technology, evaluate your property, tell you what needs to be done. They have decades working in the insurance industry, so they know all the games and all the tricks to make sure that you get what is coming to you to repair and restore.
They've been
your
on
property.
All sides of this thing, Steve. All sides.
Every side. They know the business inside and out. That's why they're so successful. They're a family-owned business. Owner Josh Martin, great guy, big Bucks fan, and he's fed up like every other Bucks fan, but he's not like Sean Sullivan. Don't call Josh to talk Bucks. Call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7.
And ask for the Sage discount, Steve.
Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. Tell him you heard about Ira and on Joe Bucks fan, whatever it is. And if you need their service, you'll get $500 back. And that's after your free inspection and everything. They're a one-stop shop. They can restore and repair if that's what it takes, if that's what you're looking at. Check them out. They've got 5-star Google reviews. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Bill Cowher was laughing on CBS Sunday. He's laughing, saying, he's like, Todd Bowles, you know, a few weeks ago, he's chewing the team out, players out, you know, you guys don't have enough heart, you don't this, you don't that. He's like, now, Bowles is saying, we're good, we're on the right track, we're right there, just got to make it. He's like, he's laughing. He's like, Bowles is working both ends to try to get something to spark, and nobody's responding. Of the mental side of this stuff. Well, what do you think of that comment?
I think Bowles is at a loss at the podium. He don't know what to say. J.P. Peterson, been a longtime member of the local media. I thought he asked a salient question about physicality. You know, did you think it was requisite physicality and you know, fury? And he got no acknowledgement from Bowles. But we saw it. You can't fool the people that are watching, Lee. And Buck Nation, they watch, you know, with a discerning eye for the most part. And you can't fool these people. And I'll say it again. Miami looked like the team that was in the playoff hunt. And like Steve says, New Orleans flying around. Atlanta flying around. And it's not like the Bucks got off to a terrible start and were behind the eight ball. That didn't happen. Did you see my little thing about their 8 possessions after the touchdown? 3 turnovers, 3 punts,
yeah.
And a blocked field goal,
yeah.
And 1 field goal. That's horrible.
I got 2 questions for you, Ira. First one is, I was watching that Rams-Falcons game, lost $50 on it. You win some, you lose some. Someone put this out on Twitter, and I'll ask you this, Ira. Xavier Watts had a devastating hit. I can't remember who he hit with the Rams. I believe he jarred the ball loose. I just remember the hit.
He might have had 2 picks also.
He had a hell of a game.
Rookie, right?
Yeah, rookie from Notre Dame.
Rookie.
He had a hellacious hit last night. And someone put this out on Twitter. And I'll ask you this. When is the last time a Bucs defender had a hit like that that changed the game?
You are exactly right. That's what creates energy. Big, big hits. Everybody gets excited. And we haven't seen it.
Maybe Levante David?
I'm glad you made that point. I'm glad you made that
point. Here's my second question. Mike Tanner, good friend of Joe Bucs fan, humorist/NFL columnist. He watched the Miami Bucks game, and this is what he wrote about the game afterwards. I'll just give you a sentence. I want your reaction to this. The Buccaneers deserve absolutely nothing but ceaseless scorn, contempt, and ridicule.
You know, Steve, we got to address this. Some people, and it might be more than a few, might be getting a little tired of our so-called negative attitude towards this football team. But I don't buy it, Lee. I don't buy it. This is a pretty good team. It's a pretty good team. It's not a great team.
No.
And even when they were 6-2, we didn't think they were going to the Super Bowl.
At worst, they should be competitive.
But, you know, to lose this division, a crappy division, without a team right now with a winning record.
It's not over yet.
It's not over yet. Yeah.
Go Saints.
They could. But, Steve, I want you to address this point right now. The Bucks will be a sub-500 team. It's guaranteed. There's no way around it. That's a losing season. That's unacceptable for this team. Unacceptable.
They're way below expectations. I think ownership and Jason Light probably viewed the team as, we got at least 11 wins. That's
I had them at 11 wins.
You had them at 11. Lee had them at 11. I had them at 10. Okay, so if you want to throw them a 2-game mulligan for all the injuries, okay, the best they can do is 8. That's 10. It's below what the organization expectations were. And then you look at how bad the division was around them. This is so awful. The arrow pointing down, you got arrow pointing up for every other team in the division. Well, it's a disaster.
Well, I've got to boost Steve's point. The 49ers in a much tougher division have more injuries than the Bucs. And look what they're doing.
Here's another way to look at it, guys. Lee, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it right to you, Lee. Lee, if they lose Saturday, now they're favored, but if they lose Saturday, they will finish the season 2-4 in the NFC South.
Wow.
How can you do that, Lee?
Wow.
How can you do
that?
That's
sorry division.
Steve, 3 months ago, and you remember this, we were talking about the schedule and the season, and we said minimum 5-1 in your division for this team. That's minimum. I think we said 4-2 maybe. 4-2 minimum. I think they should go 5-1. We'll give them one loss, you know, maybe against Atlanta. And that's what we said, 4-2 minimum, and now it could be 2-4. Unacceptable.
Pick your favorite loss is really what it comes down to. Pick your most critical loss, I mean, or most disgusting loss. You can't even put a finger on it. That's how bad it's gotten between what happened on Thursday Night Football.
The Atlanta game is the worst loss.
Worse than the Rams?
Well, you're not supposed to beat the Rams.
You're supposed to be competitive, at least.
It's got to be the Atlanta game. Steve, you're up 14 in the fourth quarter.
I'm with Lee on the Rams game, followed closely by what happened in Miami.
Wait a minute. What?
No, you went to the Rams. You were 6-4, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
6-4.
Yes.
They weren't even competitive.
You knew that this is an important game, obviously. Night game, high profile.
Prime time.
Big stakes.
NBC.
Big stakes for the NFC. And you went out and were not competitive. You basically gave up. You put in your backup quarterback who looked lost. Whose fault is that?
And McVay called off the dogs.
McVay called off the dogs and you had nothing. No response.
I can't believe you guys are picking that Rams game over Atlanta.
Because you had no life. No,
I mean, Atlanta's a division game. You expect to get tripped up in the division.
Well, Atlanta was bad too. But to not compete in a primetime overhyped clash, you didn't compete.
The same team that Carolina beat. Carolina beat them.
The Rams are not some sort of a super juggernaut. They're good, obviously. But what happened in Miami, Ira, to lose, to be down 2 scores late and scored a garbage time touchdown against a team that was half tanking with a 7th round pick rookie quarterback out there and
10th string wide receiver,
your top safety, perennial guy in Fitzpatrick out and a bunch of no names. That's disgusting.
Did you look at Bradley Chubb and say he would have looked good in a Buck uniform?
Hell yeah.
Did that go through your mind?
Yeah, and whoever the new coach is, I hope he emphasizes an edge rush.
Well, to be fair about Chubb, they weren't going to trade him. He's the captain of the team. He was their Walter Payton Man of the Year. They love the guys, had a big comeback. I don't see
Jalen Phillips they could have had.
Yeah, Jalen Phillips they could have had, absolutely. It's just so bad, I don't even know. I talked to a player in the Bucks locker room. I can't give the name. After the game.
You get the best anonymous quotes of anybody.
Well, it's a prominent name. The guy doesn't talk very often.
Did you get him alone?
And I needled him on talking, and he knew that, you know, the players are allegedly, if they don't talk after a game and you complain, they get fined. They're supposed to be fined.
All
right. That NFL obligation says if you go to a player and he says, I'm not talking, and it's after a game, and he's at his locker, allegedly he can be fined. Now, I'm not the guy who's going to start complaining. Oh, he didn't talk to me. There's a lot of ninnies in the Bucks media room who do that stuff. Okay? I'm not that guy. But I went to this guy and...
The player.
Yeah, he didn't want to talk. But I was like, you know, come on, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're such a great...
You did an ire on him. Yeah.
I just kept talking and talking. I said I would never report you because he brought up getting fined. He's like, am I going to get fined here? And I said I would never do that, blah, blah, blah. I said, but, you know... You really need your insight. And I just didn't leave. And he eventually had a couple laughs and talked to me. And the guy's completely checked out. Checked out, without a doubt. And I think the guy standing next to him was checked out as well, considering they're kind of tight. So
I know who you're talking about, but you didn't tell me. But I know who you're talking about.
It's bad news.
Why are they checked out, Lee? Why?
I don't know.
Why?
He even told me.
I thought this is a great culture.
He even told me I don't have a reason for what's been going on. He said, I think I play hard, but that's what he told me.
Why would you check out, Lee? I don't understand. You got everything to play for.
Well, you brought this up a little earlier, and I think it really needs to be hit home. The Glazers know a hell of a lot more what's going on behind closed doors than we do.
They might be getting some intel from JPP.
Well,
I
wouldn't imagine. But what you said, something happened at the bye, but no one's figured it out yet. I'm confident the Glazers know. Or at least Light knows. Ergo, the Glazers know. And whatever that is, that needs to be taken care of. So it doesn't fester into next year.
You know, and if you look at it, I think Ball's not really cracking heads earlier in the year on the special teams after mistake after mistake after mistake. It sent a terrible message to the whole team.
He did crack a head. He made what's-his-face stand up at the podium and talk.
Which one of you guys suggested that firing the special teams guy would have sent a message? Well, I don't think you're wrong.
We've talked about that before.
But I'm saying, which one of you guys said
Both of us have, and we pointed out, both of us, that Sean McVay, the week of Christmas.
It's not unprecedented.
No, the week of Christmas, Ira, McVay canned his special teams coach. Didn't they block a field goal last night? Gee, you think that hurt them?
Bringing somebody from the outside to look at it. Add to the special team staff. They didn't do anything. They kept a guy who didn't know what he was.
I'm tired of looking at 45-yard kickoff returns. I'm tired of looking at it.
Oh, I bet Bowles is too.
He's basically given up, right?
Well, he's given up. Kicking in the end zone, which they failed at. But you know what? To be fair, and I even added it to Lee's story, to be fair, the Rams and other teams have given up a long time ago. The Rams lead the league by a mile of kicking it out of the end zone.
Take it at the 35.
And a lot of teams made that decision. Bowles made it too late. So you could knock him for that. Because other teams, screw this, we're kicking it in the end zone.
Just as a teaser, Lee, as a teaser.
For your next column?
Could the Bucks get in the playoffs and win the first round game and all this talk goes by the wayside?
As ridiculous as this sounds, I thought Dan Graziano made an interesting point. The Bucks already beat the Seahawks on the road. They already beat pretty well, not about well, but decidedly they beat the 49ers at home.
They did.
They didn't have Evans both games. They had Godwin briefly at Seattle.
So that's what they're capable of.
And if you now Graziano did not write this. I'm adding to it. Maybe being a playoffs will wake these assholes up. I don't know. Maybe.
I think that those Bucks teams, Ira, they don't exist anymore.
We're going to come back later in this week, Steve, and we're going to talk about, can they win this game?
I'm picking them to lose right now. I don't need the rest of the week. This team is awful. Awful. Awful.
He saw it firsthand.
We've all seen it, but it's awful. Everything about it is bad.
I picked them to beat the Dolphins. Now I'm wondering, why the hell did I do that?
I won money.
Because the Dolphins are trying to lose the game. In theory.
With purpose, and Bucks have no purpose.
In theory. As an organization, the players are doing their best. Carolina's coming in here with laying everything on the line. And I don't
Carolina's
think the Bucks
not going to rely on Atlanta beating New Orleans. They want to end
on
Saturday.
No, everything on the line. It's their big moment. It's a nationally televised game. Yes, it's Saturday at 4:30, but the whole nation gets to watch the Bucks.
To back up with Steve saying, you don't think Carolina's going to be fired up for this game?
Of course.
They get to go to the – yeah, the Bucks are like, oh, man, do we have to?
What kind of crowd you expecting, Steve?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. I hope the Bucks win. It'll be great entertainment. And – do I think that they can beat the Rams if the Rams come to Tampa? No.
Rams
so
will be
bad.
By 30.
You know, we're going to eventually break down this season and what went wrong, and there's so many things to talk about. I mean, Servassier Dennis, for me, is probably number one in a lot of ways because he speaks to, they evaluated him and thought that he could do the job, and he stayed healthy pretty much the whole season, and he couldn't do the job.
And McCollum might be number two on
a
that
year,
list.
A year after they evaluated and watched a guy who they decided could do the job, KJ Britt, and he couldn't do the job. 2 years in a row, you evaluate a guy you think can do it at the same position and can't. You've got a systemic issue with what's going on there in a big way.
And I got a systemic issue with dinner.
The Sages need some dinner. We are out of here, Lee. We're out of here on Iris Podcast. You have a closing word, Lee?
Closing word is, well, let's hope the Bucks pick a competent coach in a few weeks.
And you know what? As far as our Todd Bowles survival meter, it may need a new battery because it's not registering anymore. So we're out. We'll be back.